Kurt Apsey here on Sports Radio The Ticket. I have a unnamed asking me, Kurt, when a coach like Scott Huff, for example, leaves for another job like he did for the University of Washington, do you personally, Kurt, talk to them regarding their decision, et cetera, maybe a exit interview per se?
I do with most coaches. You know, most of the time it's them and I just having a chance to say goodbye. You know, I'm pretty close with all those coaches, and it's always sad to have someone leave the department, especially a guy like Scooter who's, you know, played for us and, I mean, given his heart and soul to this program. I'm really fired up for him. It's going to be a great opportunity, and we'll in this one, we've talked on the phone, we've texted back and forth a few times. I'm not sure I'm going to have a chance to see him because I'm not exactly sure of when he's got to get up there and he's got to get all his stuff out. And, you know, like I said, I'm leaving for the tournament next week. So I am hopeful to sit down with him, but the least that I'll do is get on the phone again with him and, you know, just kind of go over his time here. It's always a good opportunity, at least for me to say goodbye before they leave.
What can you tell us about the call from Pete to Harsin or what you know of it? Because I know they're close, but he knows how inconvenient this is because it just happened to him.
Yeah.
He has no O-line coach going into spring ball, and now he's got to turn around and call his good friend, two good friends, and do it to them.
Yeah.
And I know that must just kill him, I'm assuming, because it's entirely inconvenient.
You mean him being Coach Pete?
He's calling. Yeah. Coach Pete's calling, doing exactly what just happened to him.
Right.
And he's calling, I think, because he don't want to deal with that.
Yeah.
I need an O-line coach now.
Well, this one's a little more unique because of the timing of it. You know, usually this doesn't happen the first
right.
of March. So it's a call usually to Coach Harsh as a heads up. And then it's a call to Scott, obviously, to see if there's interest. And they fly him up there and he meets with the staff.
But is Pete remorseful, you think? Or is he like, hey, this is the horrible thing to do here?
I don't know if it's remorse. I mean, it's business, you know, and at the end of the day, that's really what it comes down to. I think the one thing that those coaches do a fairly good job of is giving someone a heads up, you know, that and having some respect and the courtesy to call the head coach and say, hey, I got an opening. I'm interested in your guy. And you know, they kind of go from there. And that happened very, very quickly.
So. And, you know, Harson's looking at his phone, and he sees it's a call from Coach Pete. And it's like, oh, I know what this is about. I don't want to answer this phone call. Because he knows exactly what's going to happen here in the next 3 minutes.
Yeah. It happens every year. So they go down this road a lot, and they're used to it. And I think more than anything, those coaches just appreciate the courtesy and the respect of a phone call before it happens. So.
Well, basketball, as you mentioned, is where you're headed. We'll touch on the Mountain West Tournament. JP reminds us about the NCAA tournament tickets. We'll get into that in a second and how people can get involved for the NCAA basketball tournament, not coming in 2017, but 2018. But you're also headed down to the Mountain West Conference tournaments for the men's and the women's and meetings.
Mm-hmm.
So do we know anything of the agenda on what needs to be accomplished at this meeting?
Yeah. Usually talks are around, you know, TV obviously is always a big thing, with us and the media contract and all the things that we want to try and, you know, do going into the next season. And there'll be some other things that we'll talk about. There's not a huge agenda. We'll spend the morning, on Tuesday. The good thing for us is everybody's down there. So, you know, it makes no sense to not meet because we're going there. Obviously all for the same reason, and we happen to be able to put a meeting behind that. So it's just a really good time to catch up with everybody, talk about some of the challenges of the conference, and, you know, maybe discuss ways that we can get better at what we're doing. And it's just always good to go down and see all those guys and gals, and I'm looking forward to it.
All right, so basketball is certainly why you're headed down there in the NCAA tournament and getting a berth for your men's and women's teams.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got the tournament coming, and now the engine is starting. Is this how the tickets have normally been done? The notices go out to these season ticket holders that they're on the clock? What's the process?
Well, 2 years ago, if you remember, we put out, in a sense, a policy that says in order to be guaranteed tickets to the NC2A tournament, you had to be a season ticket holder for Boise State over the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the people that got that notice. I think they go on sale to that group on Monday, March 6th. They've got a couple weeks. And they're pretty much right now, they're not pretty much, it's for sure. They're guaranteed to be able to buy the same amount of tickets for for the NC2A tournament that they have for Boise State. So if you have 2 tickets or 4 tickets or 20 tickets, you can buy that many to the NC2A tournament. Now, the one thing you can't do is sit in your normal seat because, you know, half those courts at midcourt are taken before we don't even have a chance to get those. So they have a chance to come in and buy those. And then once we go through that process, they'll also get an opportunity to request additional tickets to the tournament. And, we fulfill as much as we can. And then at the end of the day, whatever is left, then there'll be an opportunity for others to purchase.
So, do you expect to get to that point, or do you think, and I think last time it was here, it sold out before it got to the general public?
You know, rarely it does. I know the NC2A, Mike, holds a couple, 100, 200, 300, 400 back that they'll actually put on sale to the public almost kind of in a lottery situation in September, October. But if I remember right in the past, if we have had any tickets available to the public, it's been very few.
You guys, I mean, it's been a few years after such a steady rotation of having this tournament here, and so much has changed. When the first, what is it this year, Salt Lake and is it Sacramento were the two?
Sacramento's in.
Are you guys heading down there? Is there anything you need to go and be on site to learn at these first and second round sites this year as you get ready for next year?
Not really. You know, if there's one thing we're good at, it's putting this thing on. The NC2A does a great job. They've come down. They've looked at the facility. They'll come down again. Bob Carney, who's kind of running our tournament here, will go back there and have some conversations. You know, we've just been down this road a few times, and, you know, we've hosted so many basketball games. For us, it's about helping to sell the ticket. And this is the first year actually where fans, when they go to buy the ticket, they go through the NC2A. They don't go through our office. So, once that whole process is done and the tickets are bought, then we'll go back in and start to seat the people that, have bought tickets, and we'll do that in the normal priority order. And that's kind of how it works. And then, you know, you just work with the NC2A office and all the sponsors and all the visiting teams and the hotels and all that when they come into town. So we'll be ready, and we've got a lot of hands on deck that have gone through this a few times. So, very excited about the opportunity, and I know our staff will do a great job.
Kurt Apsey joining us, Boise State's athletic director. We ask the AD every Thursday at 5. We huddle up with Harse Thursdays at 2 during spring ball, which starts Monday. But speaking of college football, Kurt, their NCAA has got oversight committees, rules committees, and conversations that have taken place this week about speeding up the sport. 3 hours and 24 minutes, the average length of a college football game. Half times at 20 minutes. I don't know if they want to attack the quarters or running clocks like the NFL. First down stops it, and then you have running clocks and speeding up the game. Do you have a thought about that? You see managed games and how attention spans are changing?
Yeah. Well, I think they're too long. I don't think they need to be 2.5 hours, but I think 3:24 is a little long. I think there's a lot of media timeouts when you're playing on television. I think that's probably the biggest change in the game time. You know, you'd probably have to talk to our coaches about what they think about maybe the clock not stopping on a third down. It'd be interesting It'd be interesting to see how much time that would actually save. I don't know if that's, you know, 4 minutes or 15 minutes. I mean, I really don't know, you know, what that would be. I'm for shortening the game, but I don't really go to football games and say to myself, man, this is really taking a long time. Where I get frustrated is just how long the media timeouts are. And I think that's what's really added on, you know, across all phases of football, whether it's professional or college or whatever it might be. And I'm open to all those suggestions, but I think it's going to come down to the coaches when you start talking about the clock running during first downs and, you know, all those kinds of things are going to have to be vetted probably through the coaches association before a change like that is made. So,
well, I guess the future is now. We'll see how that all works because the TV guys want their money, and until they change how they run their commercials,
right,
they're going to keep taking those timeouts.
The guy with the red hat, one likes him, and they want him to get off the field as soon as possible. So,
yeah, but you come from a background in a sport of soccer, and it doesn't have that. Right? NASCAR doesn't have that. NHL doesn't have that.
Football, baseball, and basketball fans hate me saying this, but the one thing that's great about soccer is there's no timeouts and there's very little coaching being done during the game.
That's right.
And so I think it is a player-driven sport where you can't just call timeout and, you know, go get some type of strategy talk with the coach on
that's
the sideline.
Right.
So the preparation is all before you play. And, you know, to me, that's the great thing about that sport.